Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports, medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio, quick shout out, Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. He represented Elvis Presley. His first sports people were Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali. The guy's a legend. We got a great doubleheader today. Hillary Loftus, she is the healthcare education director for Help Our Wounded Foundation, and she's developed and managing the How Concussed Student Athlete Program. She's returning, along with Linda Cutting. She is an author, educator, performer, adoption parents and their children, all aspects of that. Then the sports doctor's in, some Bob Guide of Wisdom and your emails first. Hillary Loftus, welcome back for numerous times on the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. It's great to be back again. Great to talk to you again.
Yes, give us some background on you the Help Our Wounded Foundation.
Sure. So I am a former sports mom. I was just looking at some pictures of my now 31-year-old from when he was...
I hear you.
You know, it's wild. Now, pictures of when he was 8 through high school in his baseball uniform and soccer uniform. And, you know, it's just such an exciting and great time and for the kids and for families, too. I mean, they're just precious memories and... It does great things for them. Sports do great things for them, and it, you know, helps them become responsible, focused, team players, leaders, and I just can't say enough about it. And that's a big reason why I do what I do with a concussed student athlete program. That's why I developed it. I was thrilled when they asked me to lead that with a concussed student athletes. And so I developed and managed the program for them. So very exciting. Our goal is to treat between 50 and 70 concussed student athletes over the next 2 years with medical-grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which helps them recover their brain health. And it's just so exciting when you see the results. You know, they come in and they've got headaches and they can't sleep and they're upset. They can't play their sports and their families are all worried about them. And, you know, their doctors have, you know, most have said, well, there's really nothing we can do. Just take it easy and, you know, try to eliminate your sleep.
Well,
your
you know, it's amazing, Hillary. We've come a long way, baby, from ignoring concussions and head injuries in sports, let alone the veterans with all those traumatic brain injury challenges over the years. And the topic of concussions has exploded in the importance of awareness at all level of sports and schools, in the challenge of treatments. We've had worldwide guests on the Sports Doctor from Finland with Adrian Harrell, and they're developing a saliva test on the sidelines to athlete
That's
intelligence
so
with sensors in helmets.
They're
so
great.
And like when I first had you on the show, whatever it is, 3 years ago, we talked about hyperbaric oxygen has been a big deal in the world of healing over the years in wound care and various areas of podiatry and vascular surgery and other aspects of healing. So the positive effect it's had is, on the, especially some of these chronic conditions with these concussions where, again, all of these symptoms afterwards, you know, in the old days, if someone took a real hit, You know, someone would say, hey, how many fingers do I have up? Okay, you're good. Go back in the game.
Right.
You know, and today it's so much more of a challenge. And the evidence with hyperbaric oxygen has been very positive in your experience, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. There's so much research on it now. And one of the top researchers in the world, Dr. Sai Afradi, he just established a big hyperbaric nutrition, exercise, and physical therapy facility in the Villages in Florida. And there are a number of doctors. Paul Harris has been doing research on it for years. Dr. Joe Maroon, the Pittsburgh Steelers team neurosurgeon for 40 years, was just awarded from the NFL Physicians Society for his
paper. Yeah, we're looking forward to him joining us hopefully this fall, Hillary, and again talk about that tremendous journey of that whole world of concussion awareness and therapy. You can imagine, again, you know, the National Football League has taken so much flack over the, rightfully so, with the challenge of identifying, admitting, and the whole world of concussions, and of course the end game with the CTE situations, you know, really are nightmares. So the student athletes in the schools, have you had your good cooperation? What's the website people can get involved to find out about that CSAP?
Well, the best way really at this moment is on the Howe Foundation Instagram or the Howe Foundation YouTube. So the Instagram is at Howe Foundation SF for South Florida. And Howe is spelled H-O-W, short for Help Our Wounded. And the Howe YouTube channel.
How long have you been involved in the tremendous healthcare education that you're involved with the Wounded Foundation?
Yeah, let me just give the YouTube channel, because we have some great testimonials from student athletes on that as well as veterans. So if you go on YouTube and you search for Howe Foundation of South Florida, you'll see testimonials from the veterans, the student, some of the student athletes we've helped, and you'll get to learn more. And to answer your question, so I've been involved for almost 7 years now. It'll be 7 years in November of this year, and it's just so exciting. You know, it's a real growth field in medicine, and just the rewards of seeing the relief in the families and the student athletes that we've helped, and in the veterans and their families. Howe Foundation's treated over 70 veterans by now. And, you know, I think the number of student athletes is a lot smaller. It's a newer program, and we had to used up all our funds.
Well, you're not going to have a shortage. I'll tell you that, Hillary. You know, you're not going to have a shortage of possibilities, again, because the head trauma is such a big deal. And, of course, football is famous, hockey. Also, all the collision sports, again, soccer, rugby, lacrosse, you have so all of these collision sports. And you have, again, right now, there's no specific exact answers. How long should someone be out? Well, you know, when can somebody come back? And a lot of organizations that I've had on the show have developed various kinds of on-the-sideline evaluations in order to try to get a head start with either identifying, get that kid out of the game, and then giving them the right direction to go. You know, now there's these concussion protocols. You can't get back in the game unless you've had that neurological evaluation. That was huge news.
Right, which is so great that they're doing that. They did that, and it's so important because the dangers of getting a second concussion after a first one can be devastating. And even with one concussion, I mean, we're all worried and tuned into mental health these days, right, with the athletes and student athletes. And research has shown
the biggest
that,
topic in the country. The pandemic,
right?
It's the biggest topic in the country. Every guest I've had, Hillary, from anywhere in the world, whatever their vocation, when they talk about what's been up front and right in their face, it's been mental health.
Yeah, which is good that I think, you know, that we can talk about it now. And I think it's, you know, it helps us prevent and treat. And it's been shown that if, the risk of suicide, for example, after just one concussion is doubled. And it's shocking. And it just goes to show how important, you know, concussion awareness, recognition, and treatment is.
You know, a frequent guest of ours, I think you've been in contact, you know, Catherine Snedeker, who is the founder of Pink Concussions. And all, you know, the whole women and female side of concussions, there are differences, there are commonalities, but her organization's been around for a while, again, you know, with a lot of the different research, you know, again, the challenge of concussions and head injuries in athletics, again, has exploded over the past decade with all aspects and every weapon they have. We really welcome. How available in the world of medicine is hyperbaric oxygen as far as in clinics? Is it every hospital? What's been your experience?
Well, so let's see. Hospitals, a lot of hospitals in our country, I think it's 70% of the hospitals in our country all have hyperbaric chambers for wound care and the other 14 FDA-approved diagnoses, but they cannot yet treat brain injuries. There is one hospital in the country that's doing it for veterans, but I'm not allowed
really?
To say the name.
Are you kidding me? Really?
No,
they fill
I'm not
it with the ability to the hospital-wise to use the units for the head trauma concussion. They're still arguing about that?
Yeah, we can't wait until it's paid for by insurance.
Huh.
So. Yeah, people have to go to independent facilities.
Send them our radio show, Hillary, is what you got to do. You know, let alone clinics and the does a personal physician, primary care physician, team doctor, the one who writes a prescription for treatment, and if it can't be in hospitals, where would athletes or individuals get the treatment? For the concussion therapy with hyperbaric.
Yeah, so how partners with, I think it's a dozen independent facilities that we've verified, independent medical hyperbaric facilities that we've verified for
where are they?
Treatment. Well, the one that we partner with in Delray is Hyperbaric Services of the Palm Beaches, located on the campus of Delray Medical Center. And they have 60 crest chambers, and they're getting more. And we love working with them. They're top-notch. They were the first JCO-certified facility in the country. And then the others, there's one in Orlando. There's a couple in North Carolina. I don't have the list in front of me. It's more on the East Coast. I think there is one in Texas now. But if someone contacts me, I can, you know, if they live in another state, then I can connect them. But the thing that they need to do is to go on the website. There's not really much about the Concussed Student Athlete Program on the website yet because we're so busy reaching out to people, treating patients. But they can go on the website and fill out the initial questionnaire, or they can just call me and I can direct them. And
so Dr. Maroon that you mentioned, the neurosurgeon with the Steelers for decades, and he's involved in the situation. He's impressed. He's recommending it. Do any of the pros get involved with this kind of treatment?
Yes, they do. And, you know, a lot of them aren't willing to disclose because, various reasons.
Whether it's drugs in sports, whether it's performance enhancing drugs, which I've relabeled, you know, performance surviving drugs, whether it's the hassle over medical marijuana for years with opioids, you know, sticking these athletes in the face as well as patients, these kinds of concerns where, again, you would say, hey, listen, you know, the treatment's really been great. I can't mention it. Or there's this restriction or that restriction. And the sports doctor or champion of many times these kinds of challenges. By the way, everybody, the Sports Doctor, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows. You can go back years, listen to whatever you'd like. You have thousands and thousands of followers on the platforms at Sports Doc Radio with Twitter. So the student athletes program, again, Hillary, I wish you a lot of luck with that. The time always flies by with Hillary yes. Loftus. You know, again, congratulations with the great work that
you
do with the Wounded Foundation, and we'll have you back.
Give us some real feedback with the
student athletes, because this is, again, it's a gigantic topic, and I really want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent. With the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue, go to MVPParent.com, MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hi, from Chicago, it's the sports doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We want to welcome Linda Cutting. She's an author and educator for adoptive parents and their children. Really a topic that a lot of times is not discussed. She has a new book coming out, as is always. Linda, welcome to the sports doctor.
Thank you, Bob. Glad to be here.
Yes. Give us some background on yourself. You know, many times we'll see teammates and schools and other organizations, sports, the whole category and world of adoption is something that's a mystery to a lot of people. Give us some background.
Well, the title of my book is A is for Always, by the way. And it really discusses not just the joys of adoption, but the challenges. And I think what's important for adoptees and for those learning about adoption, for non-adoptees, is to understand that much of the adoption world has been shrouded in shame and secrecy, and it's really important to break through that and to normalize adoption and to realize these are normal families.
That's an interesting fact that you wouldn't think off the bat that necessarily it would be something of, you know, the bullying side or belittling or whatever, or that negative side, tough enough, but it is. And I think the awareness of, like you said, out of the shadows and talking about some of these things is very, very important, you know, whether they're your friend in school or your teammate or the family. So talk a little bit further on that with your background.
Well, it's not just important for peers. I think one of the most hurtful questions peers can ask their friends who are adoptees is, well, who is your real family? And the truth is that an adoptive family is a real family, but children who are adopted also have a birth family. So in effect, they have their origin family and they have their adoptive family, and both are very real. And I think normalizing that and educating kids about that would keep them from asking those kinds of questions. I also think it helps educators, teachers, librarians. You know, there's a
coaches.
School. Yeah, there's a school assignment that's very tough. That's you know, draw your family tree with all of your ancestry in it. And most adoptees, unless they're in touch with their birth families, don't know their ancestry. And so that's a painful question. And I think, you know, it's important that educators understand that this is also a marginalized community that you know, other kids need to learn about. So that's where I'm coming from.
A million marginalized communities, and sometimes if you talk about all of them and not really get it, this whole side of the adoption, I would imagine the education of the parents has got to be a big deal.
Absolutely. It's so important that adoptive parents really grapple with the tough questions their kids are going to ask. And I'm looking at A is for Always as a tool for that, because really there are letters in it that are really give you a chance to talk about kids. So, for example, the letter U is for the understanding you'll get from a parent when something makes you upset. And the illustration is a giraffe mom nudging her elephant baby as the elephant baby looks sad watching a family of look-alike elephants pass by. It's important, you know, to be able to talk to your kids about that, about the wish to be normal, to fit in, to be like every other family.
And well, wasn't this book inspired by one of your adopted children?
Absolutely, both of them. My daughter, who was six at the time, marched down the hallway with two different adoption books and said, "Why are my adoption books different from my brother's?" And I said, "Well, you were adopted in China and your brother was adopted in the U.S. And she goes, "That's not right. There should be an adoption children's book that includes everyone from everywhere so no one feels left out. And then she pointed me and said, you know, you're an author, Mom. You should write one. So I took it on as a challenge, and that's what I did. So that's how it started.
Yes, and let alone also, there was an incident I remember. It was a while back. We focused so much on youth sports and my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And the different kinds of challenges with families between parents and coaches. Problem comes up. And again, the situation was where that youngster was yelling back at his mother, you know, you're not even my real mother. What are you giving me all this pressure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I never thought about it as being a, you know, that kind of a, situation that, of course, could come up on a team or with a coach and or parent. Again, with what you're talking about, the importance of education and getting the feedback of the kids. Did either of your kids play sports?
Absolutely. In fact, I think one of the reasons that my husband coached was exactly that. He wanted, he wanted to be there for our kids and also to, you know, kind of usher them through their sports experiences. So he basically coached soccer for our son, then baseball for our son, and then he coached soccer for our daughter. And that was important for both of them. I think it's a good thing for any parent to do, to try to, you know, get involved in coaching until their kids pass them by and need a more advanced coach. And that's what my husband did. So
so when you talk about the understanding and some of the different the challenges between parents, adoptive parents and adoptive children, what are some of the bullets that you find so important that whether it's educators or parents or teachers that need to be kids, that they need to be aware of regarding whether it's similarities on the left and differences on the right? What are some examples that you see as real concerns?
Well, I'll tell you something. My illustrator and I had the surprise of being listed on number one among new releases of children's books on adoption. And then we got number one on children's books, alphabet books. And then we got number one with children's books on step families. And we thought, well, this one isn't really about step families, but it is about how families come in all different, you know, sizes and colors. And we have a lot of interracial families where we live in the Boston area. And so I think one example of that is my daughter was coming back from soccer with a good friend of hers whose mother is white and father was Chinese and who looks very, very Chinese. And they were both talking about what it was like to have white mothers. Now, Hannah's adopted. And her friend is a biological child, but she looks very Chinese, and her mother is very white. And so I realized that when we had placed on Amazon's number one for step families, that really it was a book, it is a book about families with differences, you know, because in interracial families, the children don't look exactly like either parent. And it's the same with adoptive families. The children
and common. You know, this is common, much more common than ever before. And
absolutely,
the idea, again, that the adoptive situation is you know, would be, you know, marginalized in some way, shape, or form is an interesting, factor in so many different ways. And what was some of the advice that you've gotten as a parent from your children?
Well, it's interesting.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom. Because I've been very open from the start with them about their birth parents and their origins, both of them came to a place where they said, Mom, you know, you should go into therapy about our birth parents because you keep bringing them up. So I realized,
you know, that fact alone that you just mentioned, whether in some families, the birth parents are hidden, or nobody, you know, they don't talk about it or whatever.
We're
you talked about how right at the beginning. I guess that's a important bullet point, isn't it?
it's a very important bullet point. And one of the things about our system of adoption in the U.S. that needs to be changed is that every state of the 50, when you finalize your adoption, you're given a new birth certificate for your child, which reflects you as the birth parents, but you're not the birth parents. And so it robs them of their origins. There are only 10 states now out of 50 that allow adult adoptees at the age of 18 to see their original birth certificates. And I am trying to be an activist and work to get the other 40 to do the same, because it's so important.
Yes, well, you send them a copy of our show is one of the first things that you do.
Sounds like a good idea.
Again, with whatever your political opinion of the overturning of Roe versus Wade, it's going to be a whole new world in your world. Who knows what it's going to be like with all of the new attention to something like adoption, which might not have been even thought about years ago. So that's a volatile situation, I would imagine.
It is. And I'm a pro-choice adoptive mother. I think that the idea that Amy Barrett came out with about, you know, for those who are pro-choice, just think about, you know, it's just as easy as leaving a baby at a fire station. I thought, what in the world is she thinking? I mean, there are so many elements of that. Where's the empathy for the birth mother who could be a teenager or as young as a 12-year-old? You know, where's the empathy for the baby? I mean, it is not that simple, and it is not the replacement for choice.
No, at all. But what it's going to do is going to quadruple times 100 the amount of children that might be looking at in some way, shape, or form, or families with adoption being something that, you know, becomes important to be looked at in that regard. And again, you know, the discussions with families when we're talking about, like, in school, and do you find that schools pay attention at all to the topic, or is it another one of these things that nobody wants? You know, we with schools in this day and age, let me see, we can't talk about race, we can't talk about trans kids, let's add adopted kids, you'll be next on the list.
Well, you know what, it's interesting. My daughter said to me, Mom, you know, this is not just a book for adoptees. This is really a book that allows other kids to learn about our marginalized community, about us as adoptees. And the more they understand us, the more harmony there'll be in relationships and the less hurt there'll be in relationships.
How big a community? I mean, I would have no idea. It's got to be a larger, the adoptive community's got to be huge. You know, I'm going to ask you more about that, Linda, when we come back. You got a website people can go to about your work in the book? What is it?
It's just www.lindacutting.com. And
we're going to come back and talk more about this. It's the Sports Doctor, everybody. We'll be right back. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son or daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. We're talking with Linda Cutting, a multifaceted author, a performer, and very involved in the whole world of adoption, the parents, the kids, the challenges, with a new children's book. Is it A as in always, Linda?
It's A is for always. It's an adoption alphabet.
I knew I'd get it eventually.
Yeah. Yes.
And you talked how the book was inspired by your own daughter. And we were talking about also, you know, some of the different important factors that are important. Your daughter now is a teenager. And how does she think you guys are doing?
She's actually very excited about it. And she's been actively participating in my readings, and I always call her out because she was so directly responsible for it. But my son also had a part in this. I mean, I remember him joking with me a few years back saying, "Mom, why don't you just make W for watermelon? Because adopted kids like to eat too, you know." we're normal kids. And he actually inspired the letter O, which is O is for oak, a tree big and strong. And it's for building a tree house where we all belong. And that was to counter his difficult experience with the elementary school family tree assignment that I mentioned earlier. And so in this picture, there are all different species of animals and animal families building a tree house together. And it's based on love and connection, not on blood relations. So,
what are some of the other letters and subjects?
One of them, V is for varied, and that one has maps of the entire world. V is for varied, how families are made all over the world, from New York to Taipei. And what we wanted to emphasize, there are all different animal families on this one, kind of pointing to places where they came from. And we wanted to emphasize that families are varied. Even outside of adoption, they're quite varied. I mentioned, interracial families before. There are some families with single parents. There are some families with two parents of the same sex. Families are varied, and that is who we are, essentially. So that was an important
thing. It's amazing how important that theme is, at this point in time.
Absolutely.
That whole idea of acceptance of differences is such a major challenge. It's crazier than ever. How many adoptive families are there? What's the percentage? I would have no idea.
I would say we are about 2% of the entire population. So it's a small percentage, but an important one, obviously. And I think because it's 2%, because it is a small portion of the entire population, that's where it becomes really important for it to become normalized and understood by educators and non-adoptees and peers. And that, I think, is also what inspired the letter R for this book. R is for real, a word to describe the family you have right here by your side. And there's a picture of a big beach with all these different animal families of different species having picnics together. And that was in response to my daughter's difficulty with being asked by peers, "Who is your real family?" And there was a fantastic scene from a science fiction film that came out in March called After Yang. And in this future family, there's a black mother, a white father, a Chinese adoptee daughter, and there's a bot brother that they bought who's supposed to be a mentor to the sister and a brother to her. And they are in a car together or whatever the vehicle is in the future. And he sees that she's a little bit morose and says, what's wrong? And she says, my friends told me my family's not real. And so he walks her into a forest where he shows her grafted trees, you know, where a branch is taken from another tree and it's, you know, bandaged to the new tree, and then it grows in place. And he said, both trees are important and both trees are real. Your family is real and your origin family is real. And so I think that's what needs to be emphasized, is that adoption is real, adoptive families are real, but also the origin families for adoptees are very real. And one of the really great things happening, positive things happening in adoption in the U.S., I talked about the fact that there aren't enough original birth certificates available, but there are more and more open adoptions, which I think I wish that that's the way ours had gone, but unfortunately our son's birth parents did not want an open adoption. But I think to be able to have a glimpse of
what's an open adoption, Linda?
An open adoption is one where you have where you and your child have time together with your birth parents. So that there's some
interaction. Okay, that makes sense. Yes.
There's some interaction with their family of birth. And I think it's the best model for adoption because it doesn't deprive the adoptees of knowing their roots, of knowing their family of origin. And
You'd think that would, of course, be the way to go. You know, for a million years on the Sports Doctor, we make a big deal about childhood obesity and its relative importance with bullying. The whole tie. We had a gal very involved in the world of bullying, an author, just a few weeks ago on the show, and the various reasons for bullying. And obesity was like number one. Disability,
really?
Sexual orientation, adoption. Is that a concern with bullying?
Yes. In fact, our son was quite severely bullied from the fourth through the sixth grade, and he is now 21. He's a student at Rochester Institute of Technology, and he actually co-authored an article with me for Wired magazine, and the title of the magazine article was How Video Games Became a Haven from Bullying. And
I'm telling you, it's such a big topic, Linda. You know, Linda, we ran out of time. I knew we would. It's a fascinating topic. Linda Cutting, the author of the new book. What's the name of it again?
It's A is for Always, an Adoption Alphabet.
And the website, people will find out about that, and you?
It's my author website. It's just lindacutting.com.
All right, next time I have you back, we'll talk about your piano playing. Linda Cutting, I want to thank you so much for joining us and bringing some attention to a key topic. Hold on, Linda. We'll be right back, everybody, to Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Everybody, live from Chicago, we are back with the Sports Doctors Inn segment where we preview some upcoming shows and guests. We mix in some Bob Guida wisdom and we answer some emails. Again, we have great guests coming up. We're going to talk about big pharma, prescription drugs, all aspects of that with prominent author Elizabeth Aden. And then Phil Wilson with his therapeutic far infrared sauna technology will be joining us. Following week, Monica Bryant, triage cancer, cancer information. Gosh, is there a family that's not involved in some way or connected with a friend or family member, the whole world of cancer, and the importance of education? We're going to touch on that. And then Sonia Wasden, and we're going to really touch on the importance of mental health in and out of sports, high performance, injury prevention, wellness, mental health. Bob Guida made such a big deal out of strengthening the opposites. He'd say, work the brakes. If you're in a sport that's got a lot of jumping, you got to work on strengthening everything that allows you to come down safely. If you're in a sport where you're always throwing, then we've really got to strengthen all the apparatus that slows that arm down, controls its instability. And again, imagine that tennis player swinging a racket 500 or 1,000 times a week, and Bob would make such a big difference of strengthening everything. It worked in the opposite direction. Think about that. In any sport your kids play, any sport you play, repetitive motion injuries are a big deal. Strengthen those opposites, real, real key in importance. Again, I want to give a shout out here. I want to talk more about our late, great colleague, John Abdo, passed away, gosh, 10 days ago. I'm going to mix him in some of these segments with Guida Wisdom. They did so many different things together involving foot-ankle pieces of equipment, the DARD, the Dynamic Axial Resistance Device, which worked the flexion muscles of the lower legs, the front of the lower legs, the anterior tibial muscles. Every time you come down and push off, you're using those muscles either as antagonists or brakes. And, of course, John became world famous when he invented the abductor. Guida had something to do with that, that incredibly successful piece of equipment where you're sitting down and you're moving in different directions, holding on to handlebars to work and strengthen the whole core. And of course, John had the perfect name, Abdo. As they turned all of this into the abductor or abdobix, a real champion of champions, the two of them in so many ways. So we're going to mix Abdo in with some of the wisdom in future shows. Again, John, of course, like Bob, a teammate in the National Fitness Hall of Fame. Steve said, Doc, you talk a lot about the two essential exercises you featured in your book. Yes, Steve, I do. The two essential exercise systems are strengthen your feet and ankles and work balance. And in the world of youth sports, for example, whatever your son or daughter plays, whatever their age, whatever level they're at, you got to strengthen those feet and ankles. Ankle injuries to this day remain the most common injured area of the body. And sometimes it's a lifelong hassle because ankle injuries can be ignored. They're problematic. And again, if we're talking about enhancing performance, stability, changing direction, acceleration, whether you're in figure skates, whether you're in basketball or soccer shoes, strengthen those feet or ankles. Again, Guider became famous with his rubber band exercises, and this is what we really, really like to feature. The dart also, if you could ever find it, rubber bands, you could be a 7-8-year-old or the best athlete in the world, and rubber bands can help stimulate and challenge you. The second exercise of balance. Think of tilt boards. Think of standing on those Bosu instability pieces. The sand dune stepper, which is one of my favorites, which simulates standing and moving on the sand, where your feet are really gripping and your toes working all of what we call the intrinsic muscles of the feet. And the core, all involved when you create imbalance. And one of our favorite methods of training was called instability training, where you create imbalance and you strengthen all the stabilizer systems of all the muscles of the body to turn on. We would put sensors all over the body on somebody and put them on an unstable surface. Every light would light up. Everything was being used. One of Guider's favorite exercises was the oscillating balance beam, this rollable gymnastics balance beam on the ground, where athletes, whether they were Olympic volleyball players or John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors in tennis or Walter Payton's Jim McMahon's, they were walking that balance beam, which would really challenge their balance and stability, and the famous mini trampoline that anybody can use. We would have people stand and balance on the mini tram, play catch on the mini tram with your son or daughter, have them balance in different areas. We would look at the mini tram as a clock. So if you're standing at 3 o'clock with your right foot, you're being tilted in by the mini tram, and you're working all those opposites, like I just talked about, all those breaks. If you move over to 9 o'clock, it's exactly the opposite. If you're standing in the middle, it's all of them. So these are things, and that's what I want to talk about quickly before we end the sand dune stepper. That one of the most fascinating pieces of equipment, go to sand dune stepper on Instagram, and you will see from rehabilitating people with instances like Parkinson's or muscular dystrophy to the best athletes in the world, the most explosive athletes, using the sand dune to strengthen everything, to turn everything on above. You know, on the Sports Doctor, we're always singing the song, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone. So those are the two essentials. Work those feet and ankles, work that balance, and we'll catch you next week, everybody. Thanks. It's the Sports Doctor.